Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
It is easy to leave a burning building when it is on fire. But what if that building contains the very thing that gives you life, excitement, peace, joy, courage, and wonder? Will you be an agent of change, or do nothing and eventually leave? If you work in Catholic ministry, business, or education, and need quality content on your website or social media pages, contact The Simple Catholic for copywriting services at thesimplecatholic.blog and click on the writing services page for more information. The Church Militant needs soldiers against the enemy. Enlist The Simple Catholic in this fight for the truth. Good News Ministries of GNM.org. It's the Catholic place for growing your faith. Good News Ministries will provide you with faith-building reflections, virtual retreats, prayer resources, and lots more. All of it is free. Visit GNM.org today.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scott Hahn, and I want to welcome you to The Road to Emmaus, a podcast from the St. Paul Center.
The Road to Emmaus is presented by the St. Paul Center and Emmaus Road Publishing. Celibacy is a most misunderstood topic in today's world. Discover the biblical truth and spiritual depth of this meaningful practice in Why Celibacy? Reclaiming the Fatherhood of the Priest by Father Carter Griffin. Visit our show notes at stpaulcenter.com to learn more.
Last week, my good friend, Father Carter Griffin, joined me in the St. Paul Center studio to speak about his new book, Why Celibacy? Reclaiming the Fatherhood of the Priest. I hope you've had a chance to listen to that episode. But even if you haven't, I think you'll find today's presentation most useful, particularly if you're a parent or if you've ever struggled to embrace chastity with joy. And let's be honest, most of us have. You'll hear in Father Carter Griffin's talk all about the many graces that God provides us through chastity and the many ways we can turn to Him when we're in need of more grace. This is truly a message of hope and one that I am privileged to share with you.
Hello, my name is Father Carter Griffin. I'm the author of Why Celibacy? Reclaiming the Fatherhood of the Priest, and also the rector of St. John Paul II Seminary in Washington, D.C. Sometimes when people find that I've written this book on celibacy, they've asked, well, not just why do we have celibacy, but also how do we live it, and how do we live it well? And what does that actually say for the lives of all Christians, of all Catholics? One of the talks that I give at the celibacy at the seminary every year is on chastity, which is one of the foundations, one of the prerequisites for living celibacy well. And what I'd like to do now is actually give an abbreviated version of that talk, a similar talk that I give every year to seminarians. The first part of the talk will be on chastity itself and on what this virtue is, what it isn't, and how important and how beautiful this virtue is for each of us to live. And in the second half, I'd like to talk about some of the dangers to that virtue and how to respond to them, how to live chastity well, especially in the modern world in which it seems to have become harder and harder to do. So I think I always would like to begin with the seminarians and really with anybody to say that we must never lower our sights in this beautiful virtue. I think so often people look around and see how hard it can be to live, especially for young people. And I think some can despair that they ever can really, truly live a high vision of chastity. And there's no need to lower any of those standards, to settle for a kind of mediocrity. Jesus has given us all the tools that we need, and we ourselves, in the great tradition of the Church, have received the great wisdom of the saints, and we know how to live chastity well. We've been given all that we need in order to do so, and the graces will always be available to us. Having said that, especially for young people today, I would say that the decks are kind of stacked against them. And I think it's important to recognize that as well. And in fact, all of us are exposed to many of these things. in the movies that we watch and the videos that we watch, the games that we play. It's piped into the very bedroom sometimes of our children. So many things that can threaten their good living of this virtue of chastity. Many young people have been robbed at a very young age of their innocence by being exposed to pornography at a younger and younger average age. Many of them have seen videos they should never have seen or done things that they should never have done, had relationships that have hurt them for life. And so recognizing that, we also need to recognize the greater power and the greater efficacy of the grace that God gives us to live chastity. Because chastity is not simply, and not even primarily, a negative virtue. It's not primarily about what we can't do or mustn't do or shouldn't do. It's not primarily a negative commandment. It's primarily a positive power. It's a virtue to love. It's a capacity to love well. That's really what chastity is. All the no's are simply there to protect the big yes. That capacity to love with all of our heart, mind, soul, and being, as Jesus said. To love is what we're made for. And this virtue, which helps protect that power to love, that capacity to love, is not only a prerequisite for our own happiness, our own thriving, but also for our vocation. And whatever that vocation may be, whether primarily and generally to chastity or to marriage. Unchastity is really a source of slavery then. It's that which constricts, which suffocates our capacity to love well. And that's why those who suffer with this great vice, this difficult vice of unchastity, are so often very sad, very lonely, and having experienced themselves the self-inflicted pain of trying to satisfy their desires in illicit ways. Chastity, in contrast, is really a sign of true maturity. It's a sign of freedom. And it's not just a freedom from, it is certainly that. There is a kind of slavery to a lack of chastity. And chastity is that which breaks those bonds. Jesus sets us free. But it's not just a freedom from, but it's also a freedom for. It's a freedom, it's a power to do something. It's a power to love truly, to love authentically. Because our hearts are made to love. And they're made to love not as angels. We're made to love as men and women. We're made to love as human beings with a body and with a soul. And I think any discussion of chastity has to include this understanding of the goodness, of the beauty, of the importance of the human body in God's plan. That God made us this way, and therefore he wants us to love him in this way. He wants us to love each other in this way. I think of chastity as like the rib cage. You know, the heart is obviously more important than the rib cage, but it's through the heart that blood is pumped throughout the whole body. But it needs to be protected because chastity has been called a fragile virtue, you know, and it's there's a fragility in our heart, and that rib cage protects our capacity to love. And so I think becoming comfortable with who we are as sexual beings, becoming comfortable with our bodies, becoming comfortable with the natural attractions that God has placed in us, to being comfortable, and that includes, by the way, when I speak to seminarians, to have that natural comfort with, obviously there's going to be an attraction to someone of the opposite sex. Obviously there's going to be a desire for marriage and family. Why? Because God loves having children. He loves families. That's why the sexual urge is so powerful. That's why the chastity is so important, to protect our capacity to love. Because those natural urges and those natural desires are very strong, and they're actually a sign of God's desire for those sexual faculties to be used, but like anything else, to be used in appropriate ways, at appropriate times, with appropriate people. So the body is good. It's that which enables us to interact, to laugh, to communicate, and God made us that way. But those urges, precisely because we all suffer from original sin, can also lead us astray. And so chastity is not primarily negative, it is primarily positive. It's not the worst sin. The worst sin is pride and envy. Those are the sins of the evil one. But as St. Thomas says, it's actually, chastity is the most dangerous virtue. Again, it's not the worst, but it's so dangerous because it can so easily lead us astray, and it can lead us to turn our backs to God. And so just to be clear, before diving into the second half of this talk, what we're speaking about here is any disordered use of the sexual faculty. It's any use of the sexual faculty outside of marriage. And that includes pornography, use of pornography, masturbation, fornication, adultery, any kind of sexting, homosexual behavior, anything that is not in the covenant of marriage. And I want to be clear about that simply because I think there's a lot of confusion out there. And frankly, a lot of folks don't recognize the extent which chastity covers. I think a lot of folks think that if something is infidelity, it might be wrong. But if the other person is also not married, what can be wrong about that? And so we're talking about a wider field than many people recognize. And that too can be liberating, is recognizing that God gives us the grace to live with our sexual faculty in every area of our life and not simply to avoid more serious sins. So how do we win in this fight for chastity? How do we win in growing in this virtue that will protect our capacity to love, building up this rib cage around our heart? Well, the first thing is to recognize where the threats are, where the dangers are. And I'd like to identify five dangers that I see as most problematic, and then five natural responses to those dangers, and then five supernatural responses. And I think these will help round out our discussion of chastity today. The five dangers, I think one important danger is a kind of self-confidence which is misplaced. That is to say, a sense that I can handle it, thinking that something is not as dangerous as it might be, having an excessive trust of self. We're not as strong as we think we are. And recognizing that we have to recognize in ourselves those times when we are more vulnerable. One of the acronyms that I tell the seminarians, I didn't make it up, is, and there's different versions of this out there, but one is BLAST, B-L-A-S-T, which stands for boredom, loneliness, anger, sadness, and tiredness. And those are times in our lives when, because the physical organism is a little bit more vulnerable, so too is the spiritual, because we're always a body and a soul unity. And recognizing that those might be times when we are especially vulnerable, we'll be especially careful in who we're interacting with, what websites we may look on, whether we use the internet at all, for instance. And there may be times when we simply have to kind of leave the situation. You know, in many of the virtues, the sign of courage is to stay and to hold fast. You know, many spiritual masters have said that the sign of courage in the struggle for chastity is to run, right? The courage to be a coward, the courage to run away, to say that this is not the right place for me right now. Many marriages would have been saved, many families would have been kept intact if more people had recognized their own weakness, and they're recognizing that this might be a time that I just have to leave. So the first danger is I can handle it, or excessive trust of self. The second danger is screens, frankly. Oftentimes, social media, which has brought many good things into the world, but also many struggles, social media starts to devolve into kind of the only form of relaxation that somebody knows. That it's no longer really used for communication, but for simply wasting time or spending time. And it's very important, I think, for everyone, in order to use technology well, that our default recreation is not to a screen. That our default recreation is interpersonal. Our default recreation is something in the tangible world around us, so that screens can always be integrated into a fuller life and don't become a replacement for our lives. Many have fallen down sort of the rabbit hole that have ended up in very problematic areas on the internet because they first were using the internet in a way that really wasn't entirely healthy. So the second danger is, how do we use the screens in our life, TV and internet and so forth. The third danger that I want to mention is kind of soft living. I deserve this kind of attitude, a kind of a compensation attitude. I've done these hard things, therefore I deserve these things. Some of that, of course, is not a problem, but you know, we can become very kind of self, we can sort of feed our desire for things and not give any resistance to it at all, not ever be able to say no to ourselves, whether it's in the food we eat or whatever, the gadgets that we buy or the hobbies that we have or whatever it might be. Recognizing that we can't just indulge every desire that we have. And that need, as I'll get to a little bit later on, that need to deny ourselves things is essential to the life of happiness, a life of holiness, and a life of chastity. And so I think a kind of soft living, where we start to kind of settle into everything, becomes, it's a little bit harder to live chastity well when we live in that way. I think a fourth danger is discouragement. I think a lot of folks, especially young men, seem to be discouraged, and they sort of think, I'll never be free. I'll never be free from this particular difficulty or this particular sin You know, but of course, discouragement is a choice. It's an attitude. And it's something that none of us has to ever give into. Jesus has promised he will never give us a temptation that he doesn't also give us the grace to overcome. But even when we've fallen, he has promised never to deny our desire to get back up. You think about a boxing match. I mean, who wins that? It's the guy who is the last one to get back up, right? And we can fall down many times, but no matter how many times we fall down, the very worst way of falling down is by getting discouraged and not allowing the grace of God and the mercy of God to touch us yet one more time. Every saint is a sinner, but a saint is a sinner who keeps getting up. And then the fifth danger that I want to mention is boundaries, bad boundaries, porous boundaries. And by boundaries, I mean the boundaries, the healthy boundaries that exist among human beings, those boundaries that we have to have with others so that we have an appropriate protection for our own hearts with those that are closest to us. Every married person knows this. There needs to be necessary boundaries, particularly with people of the opposite sex, maybe in work situations or in church situations, whatever it might be. And those boundaries are really important ways, not of separating us from other people, but of uniting us more closely and more safely with those that we are closest to. And that certainly is true for the seminarians that I speak to. It's true, really, of everybody, that we have to have appropriate and healthy boundaries, as I'll get to in a second when we talk about the natural defenses. But those porous boundaries are one of the most serious dangers to growing in a life of chastity. And then the 10 defenses, 5 natural and 5 spiritual or supernatural. And the first one of the natural defenses is cleansing the source. We think about chastity as a pool of clear, beautiful water. We think about this, a lake, let's say. We think about the streams that are feeding that lake. In order for that lake to remain pure and clear and clean, those streams also have to be pure. And that's true also of our own lives. And so looking, when we start thinking about struggling with chastity, let's begin by making sure that we have clear streams coming in. What are we putting into our hearts? What are we putting into our minds? What are we putting into our imaginations? And this means looking at our use of the internet, looking at our use of television, movies, the games we play, the videos that we watch, whatever it might be, looking to see if there's anything that might possibly be leading to some struggles of against chastity. Guarding our senses. As we look at other people, I tell the seminarians when they find themselves doing kind of the double take at a young lady, to immediately tell themselves, you know, what if she were my daughter? What if she were my sister? How would I look at her? You know, rather than objectifying anybody. You know, looking at what we're putting into our imagination, into our intellect. Think about our memories, the memories that can so often torment us or we can have difficulties with calling to mind images or past experiences. You know, ask Our Lady into those memories. Ask Our Lady to come into that place and to touch it with her pure glance, with her pure touch, so that those memories no longer torment us in any way. You know, and recognizing that we need to tackle any use of internet pornography, any use of pornography itself, you know, which is such an epidemic among especially young men today, and increasingly young women as well. And to tackle that and to recognize that the only answer is not less pornography, but no pornography. And to say that this is something that I simply will never use again, to make that determination. And if, God forbid, there is a fall, then you get right back up and resolve that once again. You know, pornography, I tell the young seminarians, if any are struggling with it, pornography turns a man from being a protector, which is his natural role as a man and as a future husband or priest, it turns him from being a protector into a predator. Pornography is something that uses others for our own sexual pleasure. And to do whatever it takes to extract that demon, you know, from our lives, whether it means putting our phone and our computer in a different room, you know, changing which phone we have, putting the security code on it and reducing it down to almost nothing, whatever it means in our lives to do so that we can be freed from that which will always prevent us from living the kind of chastity that we want to live. So the first, very important, probably most important, natural defense is cleansing the source, cleansing what's coming in to that reservoir. The second natural defense I mentioned a moment ago when speaking about one of the dangers, this is the flip side, having good boundaries. Having good boundaries. You know, basically asking, and I asked the seminarians to think, what would a married man do in this situation? Would he spend this time one-on-one with this young lady? Would he go, you know, to a private lunch together with this young lady? Probably not. You know, a married man who wants nothing more than to protect the integrity of his marriage, to protect his children from infidelity, would do whatever it takes to make sure that he doesn't put himself in a compromising situation. And so finding long periods of time with someone from the opposite sex, being in any kind of romantic setting, you know, deep emotional disclosure, all of these things might be ways that we can cross those boundaries and make it a lot easier for the evil one to get in and to diminish our practice of the virtue of chastity. A third natural defense, a very positive one, is having good friendships, healthy friendships, deep friendships, authentic friendships, where we can really be ourselves, where somebody knows us for who we are, knows our strengths and knows our weaknesses. You know, being able to get out of ourselves and spending time with those that we care for and those who care for us. Friendships are absolutely indispensable to break down whatever feelings of alienation may be leading to those struggles against chastity. A fourth natural defense is order, putting order into our lives. What does that mean? It means being disciplined with our use of time. It means having physical order around us, you know, putting things in their place, and having a good balance of life with our prayer and our work, our sleep, our exercise, and in all these different ways of putting some order into our lives will actually give us a greater facility to resist temptations against chastity. Because really, it's the beauty of chastity, which is another expression of that order. And even physical order around us will help order our souls in such a way that we're better able to live the virtue of chastity. And then a fifth natural defense is beauty. That unchastity is ugly, chastity is beauty. And one of the ways that we can grow in chastity is by experiencing beauty in many different forms. You've probably read the book by C.S. Lewis, The Screwtape Letters. And at one point, the senior demon is writing to his nephew, Wormwood, and chastising him. Because, of course, it was his job to tempt his patient. And one of the things that he did wrong is he allowed his patient to simply go for a walk in the woods and experience the beauty of nature. And the senior demon is castigating him because he says, you know that that never works for us. You know that that's always harmful for our side. Beauty is something that always puts us in touch, if we're open to it, to the author of all beauty and God himself. And so whether it's through the fine arts and through music, through nature itself, through good literature, through good movies, whatever it might be, to have beauty in our lives, like order, will help us live the beauty and the order of chastity. And then the five supernatural means of growing in chastity. The first one, the most important, is prayer. And by prayer, I mean, first of all, praying for chastity, asking for that gift, which is so indispensable for our happiness as human beings. Asking for that gift and also the life of prayer itself will lead us to breathe in kind of the air of eternity. And as we do that, as we breathe in sort of the supernatural atmosphere of heaven, when we pray, we're much better able to resist any temptations that may draw us away from chastity. Adoration, I think, is a very important aspect of prayer today, you know, especially when we're so often assaulted by images which threaten to take us away from chastity. Adoration is like a wonderful counterpoint to that. By just being in the peace and in the silence of that visual expression, that visual reality of God himself, we are in the presence of Jesus. And sometimes, even if we're very distracted and we don't really know what we're doing, just by being in his presence and gazing upon him, looking upon the one who looks upon us, as St. Teresa of Avila defined prayer, we can find ourselves growing in strength and growing in confidence. You know, and in moments of temptation, maybe using the prayer, just simple prayers, little scripture passages, or maybe just single words, just the word Jesus itself. You know, a priest friend of mine calls these battering ram prayers. You know, in that moment of temptation, it's just repeating that word, mercy, mercy, or Jesus, Jesus, over and over again. And you'll find that you gain new strength and new confidence in that moment. And so the first supernatural means is prayer. The second is the sacraments. Maybe those really should be first. You know, recognizing that in these powerful arteries of grace, we are not only going to receive strength, especially in the Most Holy Eucharist, even daily if possible, but also healing in confession. And, you know, confession has this great quality about it. And that is that it is like the medicine that we take, which goes straight to the wound. You know, and it brings the grace that we need for that spiritual wound at that moment in our lives. And by going to confession regularly, and of course anytime if we're aware of having committed a serious sin without having received communion, to go to confession first, you know, and to make sure that we receive that healing grace from God to heal us exactly where we need to be healed. A third supernatural means of growing in chastity is a life of asceticism. You know, asceticism is really the Greek word for kind of athleticism. You know, it's kind of having a sportsman-like attitude to life, sort of picking a fight with ourselves, you know, as an old spiritual director of mine used to say, and recognizing that we need to have some spiritual training in our daily lives, not just big things or not just during Lent, but on a much more regular basis throughout our day, of being able to say no to ourselves with small things, things that we eat or places that we go or whatever it might be, just small ways of saying no to ourselves, mortifying our curiosity, our imagination, and so forth, will give us a great deal of strength in moments when we need to say no, not just to good things like that, but also to sinful things. A fourth supernatural aid to chastity is sincerity, to be honest, right? We can't do this alone. We need others to be in this fight with us. Obviously, we're sincere in the sacrament of confession, and we always, I hope, are sincere. But also, there are undoubtedly, and perhaps there should be, mentors in our lives, those that we can go to who we can be utterly sincere about. Hopefully, it may be a spiritual director or a spiritual mentor of some kind. And when we are honest with, first of all, ourselves, honest with our mentors or spiritual directors, and above all, honest with God, we find that the truth itself gives us a power over the temptations that we may be experiencing. And when we struggle with, you know, maybe a little bit of an infatuation for somebody that we've met at work or whoever it may be, you know, just talking about it with somebody that we can trust with that intimate information, just talking about it sometimes liberates us from that. It brings something out of the depths and out of the darkness into the light of God's own love and grace, and we're able to recognize it for what it is, and sometimes even almost laugh it off. We recognize that it isn't quite as powerful as we thought it was. And then the last, certainly not the last, but of these five, supernatural means of growing in chastity is Our Lady. You know, Our Lady is the great enemy of the evil one. She's the one of whom he is by far most afraid after our Lord Jesus himself. And calling her in, calling upon her aid, calling upon her assistance at that moment of temptation will yield tremendous fruit and tremendous results. I have many people, I myself learned when I first became Catholic about an old tradition of praying three Hail Marys before going to bed, praying for holy purity, and I've passed that along to many, many people. Many have found it to be very helpful. So simply pray three Hail Marys before going to bed, fidelity to the daily rosary, and just having a relationship with her, getting to know who she is, knowing that she is the best of mothers and that she wants to be involved in each one of our lives. And one of the most powerful ways that she's involved is by helping us to grow in our chastity, in our capacity to love, she who loved so perfectly herself. I'd encourage you to try to take advantage of these 10 different ways of growing in chastity, to form a kind of battery of weapons that you have for that moment of temptation, that you make the sign of the cross, that you pull out different weapons from your arsenal, you say the name of Jesus, maybe you read some of the scriptures. The scriptures themselves have a power all on their own. Simply by reading those inspired words can often bring a great deal of strength and peace in a moment of temptation. Bringing that temptation into the faculty of reason, saying, this is what I intend to do. I am just about to do this. I am just about to look at this woman in this way, or whatever it might be. And as soon as you bring it from kind of the unplumbed depths of our emotions and our passions, and you bring it up into the reason, then you're able to see it for what it is. And you're able to say, this is not who I am. This is not what I want to be. This is not what I want to do. And sometimes in that moment of temptation, it's simply a matter of getting in touch with reality. Sometimes literally getting in touch with reality. If a temptation comes when you're lying in bed, to touch the bedpost, you know, to touch reality, because reality is always on the side of God, right? And unreality is always the playground of the evil one. And by just touching reality, you're getting that much closer to God himself. Just a few things to conclude. You know, we have three very important friends in this great fight for chastity, for this power to love. The first is, as I mentioned earlier, Our Lady herself. She is a very powerful aid and assistance in this great fight. A second is our guardian angel, knowing that he stands by, ready to stand, and he's always standing guard. And all we have to do is let him into this great fight, and he will do so. And then thirdly is Saint Joseph. We can imagine Saint Joseph married to this beautiful and innocent and pure woman, and recognizing that he had to exercise the virtue of chastity in his own relationship with her, that he did so with utmost heroism and power. And because of that yes to God, he was able to be the virginal father of Jesus himself, the only man on earth that Jesus referred to as Abba, his own father, as he called his own father in heaven. And that was because of the chastity that Joseph lived so well. Mary gave her own yes to God, as we have to do every single day. Love, it's true, involves a sacrifice. And the power to love, which will be unleashed by the power of chastity, will also involve a sacrifice at times. But this virtue of chastity is truly our road to heaven, this capacity to use our ability to love, our vocation to love well. Jesus once said in the Beatitudes, "Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God." When we live the virtue of chastity, we can be sure that we are on that road, and one day, God please, see God himself.
We need to understand chastity if we're going to live it well. And we need to live it well so that our sons and daughters can live it well and not become enslaved by the sins of the flesh. Let's turn to our Lord and ask him, once again, to equip us to fight this good fight. Almighty God, our Father in heaven, we thank you for the gift of Jesus. And in his holy name, we pray for the Holy Spirit to be poured out upon us, for chastity, for fidelity, for purity, for your sons and daughters to live this virtue well. By your power and for your glory, we pray. Amen.
The Road to Emmaus is a production of the St. Paul Center. To learn more about this episode, visit our show notes at stpaulcenter.com/road. Our production team includes technical director and engineer Beckett Gitto, and associate producers Melissa Gerard and Molly Trainer. Our sound mixer and editor is Philip Buss. Our host is Dr. Scott Hahn. Be sure to subscribe to and rate The Road to Emmaus wherever you find this podcast. The St. Paul Center is a nonprofit organization facilitating life-changing encounters with the living Word of God. To learn more, visit stpaulcenter.com.
It's so much more than just a profile picture. At Catholic Singles, our platform offers you many opportunities to get to know the person behind the picture. Sign up today at catholicsingles.com. Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.